I wonder, have you ever felt insignificant? Perhaps as you even think back about your own life's journey, maybe you feel, well, you know, I haven't really achieved very much, and maybe you consider yourself to be unimportant. Well, that well could describe how the people from Thyatira felt, because they were very small, they were placed in an unimportant town, and they could have been easily overlooked or forgotten about. However, the values of God are not the values of men, because although this was a small church in a small place in the sight of man, even somewhat insignificant, Thyatira received the largest letter out of the seven mentioned in the book of Revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ has called his church to be holy and maintain purity by dealing with sin in the midst. And of course, the very first instruction that Jesus gave to the church was about that matter of confronting sin. In Matthew 18:15-17, we read this command from Jesus: if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. But if he will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. The practice of church discipline that the Lord Jesus instituted was to maintain the holiness of the church. And church discipline calls sinning believers back to righteous behavior. And if there's no repentance in the church, it's to purge those who stubbornly cling to their sin. And here the church in Thyatira, they had failed in this matter. They had failed to exercise church discipline, and they had become a church that tolerated sin. And sadly, throughout history, many churches have followed this self-destructive pattern. If there's no discipline, then the church can often be like an out-of-control teenager. And as we delve into the church of Thyatira, I believe there's an important message for us to wrestle with. If false doctrine and sin are tolerated, then ultimately that will bring judgment from the Lord of the church. As we read verse 18, we're left in no doubt who's writing this letter. Verse 18 says, to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze. And that title that you'll see on the screen, the Son of God, it's the only time this phrase appears in the book of Revelation. And it emphasizes Christ's deity, and it stresses the point that he is one with the Father. The emphasis on his deity because he is about to bring judgment on this church. His eyes are like blazing fire, and his piercing laser-like vision, it sees all. Nothing can be disguised, nothing can be covered, nothing can be hidden from the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The eyes of a blazing fire seem to indicate a severity of inspection. Those blazing eyes will strip away all of our outward appearances. Isn't it true that so often we can judge people because of what they have? A big house, a big car, an important job. But the eyes of God strip all of that away, and he sees us as we really are. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7 reminds us that man looks at the outward appearance, but what? But the Lord looks at the heart. And as the Lord looks with his blazing eyes into your life, into my life, what does he see? Does he see someone who's totally given over to the things of God? Or perhaps as he looks this morning, he still sees those with a life full of sin. And if that sin is unrepented of, I want to remind you that it will keep you out of heaven. Well, maybe your life is full of good works, and it's very possible that you're a fine, upright character. You would try to do more good than ever you would do bad. But all of that will be stripped away because God wants to see. God wants to know what you've done with his one and only Son. His feet are described as burnished bronze. And that's reminiscent of Revelation 19 and verse 15, where it says of Christ that he treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And today, as you sit in this meeting house, Jesus has the feet of grace. And he longs for you this morning to become part of his family. But here is the stark warning that sounded from this pulpit. Tomorrow, you may discover he has the feet of bronze because you've left it too late. Please do not reject God's mercy and grace, but rather trust in the Lord Jesus Christ while you have the opportunity. This terrifying description of Jesus surely would have created shock and fear when the letter was read to the congregation of Thyatira. It came as a sobering realization that Christ will judge continual and unrepented sin. But as with previous letters in Revelation that we've been looking at, Jesus begins with words of praise. And we read of that in verse 19. Jesus says, I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. The believers in Thyatira, they were showing love for God. They were showing love for one another. And although that love was apparently fragile because of their doctrine and how their doctrine was weak. Ephesus, you remember we looked at the church in Ephesus a few weeks ago. They had left their first love, whereas Thyatira was the first church to be commended for its love. Jesus also praised the believers for their faith, or a better translation would be their faithfulness. They were dependable, they were reliable, they were consistent. And out of their faith flowed service and perseverance. Those who love will express that love through meeting the needs of others. But not only did the believers in Thyatira possess these virtues, but as Christ examined the church, so he gave them an excellent evaluation. And he said that they were doing more than they did at first. In other words, their loving service was becoming more consistent and their faithful perseverance growing stronger. They were growing in grace, maturing in their Christian lives, and advancing the cause of Christ. And for all of that, for all of those wonderful things, the risen Christ warmly commends them. But let's make this more personal this morning. Let's bring our congregation under those eyes of blazing fire. As the Lord would look in on us, this little congregation of Trinity Hockle, I wonder would he praise us for our deeds. Do we show love for God and for others? Could we be commended for our faithfulness? Have we grown in our service and perseverance? I don't know all the answers to those questions, but I do believe this. I believe this congregation continues to move in the right direction But we must keep on moving. We need to keep working at our love for God and our love for one another, and how we've been thinking about that in recent weeks at midweek. We need to keep pressing on, and we need to keep pressing upwards for the glory of God. Well, this would have been a lovely letter and a great message if it had a finish at verse 19, but of course it doesn't. As the blazing eyes of Jesus look deeper into this church, so he exposes the problem within this church. The problem. The problem was not external persecution, but rather it was internal compromise. It wasn't vicious wolves from outside the flock, but perverse people from within. The penetrating gaze of the Lord of the church had discerned serious error, causing him to warn, "I have this against you." The use of the singular pronoun points this word of warning to the leader of the congregation. Listen to the warning as it's recorded in verse 20. "Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols." The church in Thyatira had gone against the biblical teaching that women are not to be teachers or preachers in the church. 1 Timothy 2 and 12 makes this issue very clear. "I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent." Women have very important roles within the life of any congregation. And I say publicly today from this pulpit, we would be lost without the women. But I cannot find any scriptural warrant for a woman to be a teaching elder. An even bigger problem was that the church in Thyatira was permitting this woman to mislead the church through error, and she was leading into compromise whereby they tolerated sin. The risen Lord Jesus gave this false prophetess the name Jezebel, because she was leading God's people astray so that they committed acts of immorality and ate the food offered to idols. She taught believers how to compromise with the Roman religion. And if there was a refusal to compromise, then the believers lost their jobs, and even further than that, sometimes they lost their very lives. The account of this false prophetess raises a question which every believer must face, and it's this. You listening, believer, pin back your ears. How far should we accept and adopt contemporary standards and practices? How far should we accept and adopt contemporary standards and practices? On the one hand, Christians must not deny their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, they must not deny their membership of society. The cause of Christ does not serve well if Christians appear to be a group of old-fashioned people always trying to retreat from the real world. As we live in the same world as those who are outside of Christ, and often we face the same problems and issues, so we must seek to find a Christian solution which will honor God. Yes, we must maintain our standards. Yes, we must hold true to God's word. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And that's the fine balance and the tensions which we hold. The Bible teaches that true Christians can fall into sexual immorality. And if you sin in such a way, there is still hope and forgiveness through the grace of God. perhaps there's someone in this meeting house who's struggling with this very issue. God wants you to repent of your sin and to know his grace and forgiveness in your life. To fall into sin is one thing, but to lead others into sin is an even more serious matter. And that's what the false prophetess was guilty of. As Christians, we need to remind ourselves that we are the bride of Christ and we need to be above reproach. Back in Genesis 39, and we looked at this maybe a couple of years ago when we were going through the story of Joseph and how he was seducted by Potiphar's wife. He had every opportunity to have sex with this woman. And what did he say in Genesis 39 and verse 9? He said, "How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" You'll remember well how Potiphar's wife came after him again and again. And in Genesis 39 and 12, we read, she caught him by his cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. And so the best advice that I can give you is that when sexual temptation comes, and young people, particularly today, I'm saying this on your behalf, when that comes to you, run from it and run as fast as you can. The Lord Jesus is always gracious, and he was even gracious to Jezebel. In Revelation 2 and 21, he gives her time to repent, but she did not want to repent of her immorality. Today, we have the opportunity to repent. Maybe you are a Christian, and maybe you know deep down this morning that you've strayed or you are straying from God's standards. And as you think about those penetrating eyes looking in at you this morning, maybe you're ashamed. You're ashamed of what you've done. But yet you carry on. You carry on with your secret because you feel, well, no one else knows about it. But again, I remind you that nothing is hidden from Jesus. And those penetrating eyes are looking in at you right now. And today, God wants you to repent of your sinfulness. Today, he wants you back in that place from which you've left off. He wants your walk with him to be as it should. But maybe there's someone in this meeting house who's never trusted the Lord as their Savior. Well, then right now, right here, this very day, God is calling you to repent of your sin and to follow him. The brutal warning for Jezebel's followers was unless they repented of their sinful ways, they would face the judgment of a holy God. And likewise, unless you repent of your sin, you too will face God's judgment. Hebrews 9 and 27 warns us that man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. This judgment is real and it's very serious, and we will all be judged by a holy and righteous God. And so that begs the question for each one of us to wrestle with today. Have you repented of your sin? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, if up until this very moment you have rejected him, then I need to warn you, and I need to say that if you die in that state, so one day he will reject you and you will spend all eternity in hell. You will suffer endless punishment. The warning was sounded to the church in Thyatira. And we do not know how many in that congregation responded to Christ's warning. But tragically, the church as a whole apparently did not heed it. History records how they fell prey to heresy, and this church went out of existence at the end of the second century. As a preacher of the gospel, all I'm called to do is to faithfully warn people of the intending doom. And as the watchman over this pulpit today, I faithfully do that. And this morning I've sounded that warning, and I leave the results with the Lord, because this is His work. This is His kingdom. And you've heard me say it before, and it's worth repeating. I cannot save anyone, but praise God, Jesus can save you today. He will save you if you seek Him. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you make that call today? Will you ask Him today to forgive you of your sin? Oh, what a day it is when we come to know Jesus in a personal way. So this morning we've already noted the praise and the problems in the church of Thyatira, but in closing we discover that not everyone was unfaithful at Thyatira. And for those who remain faithful, the Lord Jesus had a promise. We read of that promise in verses 26 to 28. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dice them to pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. To those who persevered in doing the will of God, two things here, two things were promised. And that was the sharing in Christ's rule and the sharing of Christ's glory. And I think it's an amazing thing, indeed a mind-blowing thing, that even the humblest of Christians shall sit down with Christ on his judgment throne and join with him in trying, condemning, and consigning to judgment the enemies of Christ and his church. Real authority and power does not rest with the nations of the world, but it rests completely with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the judge over all the universe. The second and final thing that we're promised is the sharing of God's glory. In Revelation 22, we read the final words of Scripture. And in verse 16 of that chapter, we read, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The promise to the church in Thyatira in chapter 2 and 28 was, I will also give him the morning star. The morning star is a reference to the Lord Jesus. This is the ultimate reward of every Christian, to be with the Lord, to enjoy his presence forever. And so this morning, if you know and love the Lord, I trust you will leave this meeting house feeling encouraged because of all that Christ has done for you. And with confidence, not in yourself, but in Christ, with confidence you can look forward to being in his presence forever. But before we go home, let me urge you to examine your life. And if you know that there are problems, then before God, sort them out and have that closer walk with God. Christ urged that those who were against him must repent. And that's simply how I conclude this morning. Whether saved or unsaved, if we're aware of things in our life that are not right, we must repent of that. We must have Christ at the center of our lives. And so I simply ask, will you repent today? Let us pray.